It's The Drive on your local radio station. We are ESPN Blacksburg, and a good Thursday afternoon to all of you. My name is Paul Van Wagner. Nathan Brennan, Andrew Alex at their homes. We're doing the show from quarantine land this week, as you know. So if you want to participate in the show, best way to do that is to text us. 866-961-1430 is the number. 866-961-1430. We would love to hear from you. We always are joined every week at this time by our friend, our comrade, our confidant, our favorite baby maker, Scott Nason. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Paul. Thanks for having me on your show. It's always nice to be on your show. Wanted to talk with you guys in football, but it just means it's closer to the weekend for me. So always a pleasure to be on.
Well, and we always love having you, Scott. Let's get right to it. Lots of NFL action this weekend in a game that nobody cares about. The Eagles are going to take on the Giants Sunday at 1 o'clock. This may be the game, Scott, where the Eagles kind of, even though they're going to be, you know, if they win this game 4-4-1, that they would separate themselves from the rest of the NFC East and probably give no one else in the NFC East an opportunity to even make the playoffs at this point.
You would think that, but the way this NFC East is, it's hard to figure out. I mean, you look at the Giants, they were 1-7 going into last week's game against Washington. They win that one. And if they were to beat the Eagles, they'd be right there in the playoff hunt. I don't think that's going to happen. Philadelphia is a lot more healthy than they've been coming off a bye week. And you look at Daniel Jones and his stats, he needs to play the Redskins. He'd be a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's 4-0 against the Redskins. But against all other opponents, 1-16. Eagles have won 8 straight against the Giants. I have a hard time seeing the Giants winning this one. I got to go Eagles.
Okay. I think you're probably right. I mean, it's just that whole division, though, is just so messed up. We were talking about it yesterday because the NFL is talking about expanding the playoffs to 8 teams in the future. And you look at the NFC East, and we saw it before with Seattle a few years ago. You know, you potentially are going to end up with a sub-500 team or a team right at 500 that's going to get a home playoff. Like right now, the Eagles would host Tampa Bay in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, that's just crazy to me.
I don't mind that the division winner gets in the playoffs, but I think they shouldn't be rewarded for a sub-500 record with the home game. That's the one part I don't like. I don't mind winning your division. You should get in the playoffs, but you know, to host a team that maybe has won 4 or 5 more games than you, I think that's unfair. So the NFL certainly has to look at revamping their playoff system.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a very good point. It'll be interesting to see if they do that. Buccaneers at Panthers, Scott. Now, obviously, where we are here, you know, we are very close to Charlotte. A lot of Panther fans in our area. Currently sitting at 3-6. I feel like even at 3-6, this is a Panther squad under first-year coach Matt Rhule that's really overachieving right now. Would you agree with that?
I do. They're certainly the best 3-6 team in the NFL. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. You look at that game against Kansas City. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, he's having a great year. I mean, he's doing everything he can, but the Panthers aren't finding ways to win games. And then you look at what the Buccaneers did last weekend, what, 5 rushing attempts in a game, which was an NFL record. I expect Tampa to bounce back. I don't see Brady having back-to-back games like that. Maybe the Antonio Brown in the mix kind of mess things up. I think this is going to be a close game, but I just don't see Tampa laying an egg 2 straight weeks. So I got the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I question the addition of Antonio Brown just simply because he does bring that level of what's going to happen with Antonio Brown, right? Like, so I question that addition, but you know, I mean, if Brady and Bruce Arians can kind of figure it out, maybe possibly it could be something good for Tampa Bay moving forward.
Yeah, I think it will eventually. It may take a couple weeks, but you know, it's still Tom Brady. He has 6 Super Bowl rings. You've seen what's going on with New England right now without Tom Brady. So I would expect them to turn it around this week. And McCaffrey, I know he's questionable if he's going to play. So I still think Tampa has enough weapons to win that game.
That's fair. Jacksonville takes on the Green Bay Packers. The Jaguars got to go up to Green Bay, Scott. November, what is that going to be? That's going to be November 15th. It very possibly could be snowing in Green Bay. I got to say, I mean, even if the Jaguars weren't 1-7, I don't feel like this is a good spot for them to play the Packers.
No, it's not. I think outside the Jets, the Jaguars are the worst team in football, and right. Their 1-7 record shows it. Going up to Green Bay, you know, Green Bay's had a few more days off after their Thursday night win against San Francisco. Yep. You got Jake Luton making his second career start. You know, he did okay in against Houston, but this is a whole different animal here with Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay, playing them at Green Bay. We saw Minnesota go in there a couple weeks ago and run the ball, and they're going to need a big game out of Robinson if they're going to have any chance, but I just don't see this. If I didn't use Green Bay in my pick'ems, I would pick them this week. I already used them, but I'm picking them anyway, Green Bay in a big way.
Yeah, unfortunately for me, I used Green Bay last week. I have my pick already in the mix here, and we'll get to that here at the end of the segment. But, yeah, I agree with you. The Packers seemed like this week they're the smart pick. Now, Scott, big matchup, big matchup in the NFC, potentially for draft position, very similar to last year. If you remember correctly, yeah. The Lions needed to win. Washington needed to lose. Washington could have potentially secured the number one overall draft pick. Now, it ended up working out for them because they got Chase Young out of the whole thing for Washington. But the Lions went into FedEx Field last year, absolutely laid an egg, and lost to a horrible Washington team. Scott? Does history repeat itself this week?
You know, the Lions are a mess. That game against Minnesota, I mean, we could go on for 15 minutes and all the things that were wrong with the Lions in that game. You know, good for Alex Smith making – it looks like he's going to start almost 2 years the day of that horrible injury. But these are the kind of games the Lions win, Paul. And it took a long time for the Lions to beat Washington. As a matter of fact, Washington won 17 straight games against the Lions from late 60s to late 90s, but it's lost 4 of 5. And again, these are games really the Lions in the long term shouldn't win, but being at Ford Field, I think the Lions have a few more weapons than Washington. So I'm begrudgingly picking my beloved and our beloved Detroit Lions.
Now here's my question for you. I'm going to spoiler alert. I have New Orleans penciled in as my eliminator pick, Scott. I'm already eliminated from the overall. I lost in week 6. The Patriots let me down. Is this the week that I throw the Lions out there and hold on to New Orleans?
I'm contemplating that as well, Paul, but I won't tell you until the end of our conversation which team I'm going to pick.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm torn. I just know that if I pick the Lions, they're going to let me down. I've been tweeting at the team for the last 2 weeks to fire Matt Patricia. They've obviously got me blocked. They're not paying attention to me. But I'll tell you what, man, the Lions are once again, just they're the Lions.
Paul, you wouldn't be the first fan the Detroit Lions organization hasn't listened to. Trust me, there's thousands, if not hundreds of thousands more.
That's fair. That's fair. That is very fair. Texans at the Browns, Scott. You talk about two teams potentially going in different directions, but yet at the same time, very quickly could potentially go in the same direction. Texans are 2-6. Browns are 5-3. You know, you mentioned earlier that that Carolina is the best 3-6 team in the NFL. The Browns might be the worst 5-3 team. Chicago says, hold my beer.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to make of this Browns squad this year.
And I don't think we know, at least at this time, even who's going to play for the Browns. Baker Mayfield was on the COVID list. You know, he started 37 straight games for the Browns. Nick Chubb could be returning from the injured reserve this weekend. And, you know, you get Chubb and Hunt both in that lineup. I think it's a different team. Mm-hmm. I think the Browns just have a little bit too much here. But, again, Texans at 2-6. They can go in and knock off an opponent like this. You know, Cleveland 5-3, I think they would be the worst playoff team in the AFC. Maybe the Raiders might be the other one, but I just think the Browns, coming off a bye week, if they have Mayfield in the lineup and maybe even Chubb, I think they get through this one.
Okay. Okay. Now this one intrigues me. This obviously wouldn't be a playoff matchup because one team is AFC, one team is NFC, unless they make the Super Bowl, which I don't see happening. But you have a very good Bills team taking on a pretty darn to very good Cardinals team on Sunday at 4 o'clock. The Bills are 7-2. The Cardinals are 5-3. We've been saying for the last month we're not really sure about these two teams. They keep, you know, the Bills have been in our power rankings all year. The Cardinals keep finding their way in, finding their way out. You know, sans that loss to Tennessee where the Bills just got drummed, they've played very close with pretty much everyone, and they ended up winning seven games. Scott, where are you at with this particular game?
Ah, boy, this is a tough one. You know, Buffalo, that win against Seattle this past weekend was a big win for them. Obviously, Seattle has some defensive issues, but Arizona has some defensive issues as well as Miami goes out there and knocks them off on Sunday. You know, I'm the only reason I'm picking Arizona in this one is because it's at Arizona, okay, and they lost last weekend. It's a pick 'em game, flip a coin. It's the game of the week for sure. I like Arizona.
Yeah. This is one of those. Arizona's in a weird stretch right now. They have four games coming up. I'm going off of memory here, but I know they play the Bills obviously this week. I think they got Pittsburgh next week. They're playing against basically all teams with a winning record. I think Seattle's in there, and then they have one more game where maybe like they play the Bears or someone like that, or the Browns. So this is an interesting month-long stretch for the Cardinals where we're going to learn an awful lot about whether or not they're a good NFL team.
Yeah, and being in that division, it's going to be awfully tough. You got the Rams, throw them in the mix, who didn't play. The only team that didn't lose in the NFC West last weekend was the LA Rams. But yeah, this is a big game. I think it's a bigger game for Arizona because Buffalo has a lot more room for error as far as the division, but not that much room because Miami's slowly sneaking up there.
Yeah, good point. So Scott, I want to take you back to the beginning of the NFL season. I want to take you back to the end of August, early September. If I would have told you that on November the 12th, the Chargers would be 2-6 and basically completely out of the playoffs, and the Dolphins would be 5-3 and possibly looking at making their way into the playoffs, how much money would you have bet me that I was wrong?
A lot, because I would have lost it all because, you know, you look at this Miami team, everyone thought they were tanking last year to get the quarterback that they wanted. Well, it looks like they got the quarterback that they wanted with Tua, and, you know, Justin Herbert has played well, but boy, he's just had some bad luck go against them the last couple weeks. At the end of the games, this is a complicated one for me. Believe it or not, I'm almost leaning to the Chargers on this one because they can't have this much bad luck week after week. Something's got to break their way, and Miami's had a lot of things go their way the last few weeks. I like the Chargers in this one for some reason. This is my upset of the week.
Interesting. So let me ask you this, because I get a lot of grief from Nathan Brennan and Andrew Alex here on the show, because I have this take where I say that there are certain schools that you just don't take quarterbacks from, and Oregon is one of them. See Joey Harrington, see Marcus Mariota. They seem to believe that Justin Herbert is the answer or the real deal. I'm not 100% sold on him. Scott, I know history doesn't repeat itself, but it definitely rhymes from time to time. Are you buying Justin Herbert, or is my Oregon quarterback take a good one?
Well, your Oregon take is certainly a good one. Joey Blue Skies there, Harrington, as we like to call him in Detroit, wasn't a very good success, as well as Marcus Mariota. You know, I think we're just going to have to wait and see on Herbert. I mean, he certainly played well. He doesn't have the wins to show it, but he has the stats to show it. So I would lean a little bit your way just because of historic Oregon quarterbacks, but I wouldn't quite close the book on Herbert this early. He's certainly somebody that as a Lions fan, I wish we had waiting in the wings along with Tua and pretty much any other young quarterback drafted. Well, maybe not any young quarterback, but it'd be nice to have somebody other than Chase Daniels, who we saw last week. But yeah, I think the jury's still out. We're just going to have to wait and see. Maybe he can take a step up this weekend in Miami.
Picture it, Scott. It was November of 2002. Sporting News had a cover story talking about the future of the NFL and the young quarterback. And the guy on the cover was wearing number 3 in a Detroit Lions jersey, Joey Harrington. How easy it is to be wrong in the NFL.
Yes, but he can play the piano better than any quarterback in NFL history. So he's got that going for him.
That is fair. That is very fair. Yep. Broncos are at the Raiders Sunday at 4 o'clock. Again, this is an interesting interdivision matchup. Raiders on the cusp of possibly being a playoff team. Broncos are kind of going more towards the Lions, Washington, maybe not quite as bad as the Jets, but the Giants area. They're going to be competing for one of those top draft picks. This one seems like a no-brainer to me.
I think so. I mean, Derek Carr has won his last 4 home games against the Broncos, completing about 74% of his passes. And the Raiders, you know, they've played a tough schedule. Matter of fact, they've played the toughest schedule so far in the league, and they're 5-3, so their schedule's going to lighten up a bit. I do like the Raiders in Las Vegas.
Now, one that you mentioned, the game of the week, maybe the afternoon game of the week, and a potential possible playoff matchup later on is the Seahawks at the Rams. 6-2 Seattle, 5-3 LA. This game is going to be interesting. I know that a lot of us will be watching this for fantasy reasons. A lot of us will be watching this just because this is going to be a damn good matchup, Scott.
It really is, and I like the Rams in this one, coming off the bye week, having that extra week to prepare. Seattle made the trip out east. Their defense has some issues. Russell Wilson has not played well against the Rams. As a matter of fact, he's lost 7 of his last 10 games against the Rams, and so this is a team that gives him trouble, and Aaron Donald, I think, will give him a lot of trouble. He's been sacked 12 times in his career, that being Russell Wilson, by Aaron Donald, and I think the Rams – They're quietly just going about their business, and they win this one. Well, you could really have a 3-way tie up top if Arizona wins, all teams at 6-3. Give me the Rams.
Interestingly enough, the Seahawks, after starting out 5-0, have lost 2 of their last 3, both on the road at the Cardinals and at the Bills, and both in contests, Scott, where they had to score a lot of points and just – I mean, they did, but just not enough points. They lose 37-34 to the Cardinals. They lose 44-34 to the Bills. Do you think that the Rams can put up enough points that, you know, that seems to be the secret, right? We just got to outscore Seattle because their defense is porous. Do you think do you believe in the Rams' offense enough to get a high 30, low 40 number and outscore the Seahawks?
Most teams, I would say no, but the way Seattle is giving up points, I would say yes. They have some major defensive issues right now, and, you know, moving forward, Russell Wilson's going to have to, you know, play out of his mind, I think, for them to win playoff games and try to make it to the Super Bowl. So I think the Rams do have enough weapons. Jared Goff is having a good season. I mean, his numbers don't fly off the page, but, you know, they're 5-3 in a very good division. So this is a home division game, really almost a must win for the Rams if they're going to win the division.
Coming off of another victory, in fact, 5 straight, looking to go 6 in a row, the New Orleans Saints, who started out 1-2, and we were all concerned, are the Saints falling apart? They played against the Lions in week 4. That'll cure what ails you in most situations. And since that game, Scott, they have won 5 in a row. They're looking for 6 straight. 6-2 right now, taking on a 49ers team that, you want to talk about a team that is decimated with injuries, look no further than the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I don't see how San Francisco, even though they do come off a bye week, you know, going against a very hot New Orleans team, I just don't see how they get the win in this one. You know, there are a lot of questions about Drew Brees, his arm strength early in the season, but he has seemed to silence those critics, as he almost always has throughout his career. Being down in New Orleans, I think New Orleans wins this one going away.
All right. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning. Those are the three guys in current history. I know that there are people that'll say, well, Joe Montana, and there are people that'll, you know, even go back to like the Y.A. Tittle days. But right. out of those three, right, out of the current crop of Hall of Fame and future Hall of Fame quarterbacks, rank them, Scott. Brady, Brees, Manning. Where do you put them? Peyton, by the way, not Eli.
Right, right. Not Eli. You got to go Brady one. I mean, this guy's won six Super Bowls and a very close second with Drew Brees, not winning six Super Bowls, but winning Super Bowls. And Peyton Manning, I would put, I wouldn't say a distant three, but a solid number three. So Brady, Brees, Manning.
Interesting. Somewhere right now, Nathan Brennan is just angry at you. Bengals at the Steelers, Scott. There's something to be said for being 8-0. A lot of people are questioning the Steelers because their last two wins have not been decisive and great, but a win's a win's a win. Win and move on. Steelers keep doing that. I have them at number one in my power rankings and have for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Scott, are the Steelers the best team in the NFL right now?
Well, they're the only undefeated team, and they have played a couple contending teams. So, yes, I mean, and, you know, they didn't look pretty against Dallas. That was my lock last week. Had to kind of sweat that one out. Ooh. But, you know, going against a Cincinnati team, again, better days are ahead for Cincinnati.
Right.
2-5-1. All signs point to Pittsburgh in this one. And, yes, they are the best team in football right now.
Okay. Sunday night game of the week, Ravens at the Patriots. Patriots, you don't know what to make out of them. The Ravens, they are what they are. I mean, early on in the season, a lot of us thought that this could be a team that was going to compete with Kansas City and Pittsburgh. They seem to not be able to play with the elite teams in the NFL. Patriots, not an elite team in the NFL right now, Scott. I'm guessing you got the Ravens in this one.
Yeah, the Ravens turned it around last week against Indianapolis. And, you know, you look at Lamar Jackson, while he hasn't put out the great numbers that we saw last year, as a starter, he's 25-5. That's pretty darn good. I don't care who you're playing against. And he likes to play in the primetime games. Yeah. Matter of fact, he's 4-1. He's thrown 13 touchdowns and no interceptions in those games. Patriots, you know, they're not a good team. Yeah. And it shows how much Tom Brady meant to that team. I like Baltimore in this one.
The Monday night contest has the Vikings at the Bears. Outside of, you know, Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, I don't know that many people are too interested in this. However, the Vikings getting Dalvin Cook back, 225 scrimmage yards and 2 touchdowns in back-to-back games, might be able to compete with the Bears. I'm not sure I'm buying the 5-4 Bears. I'm also not sure I'm buying the Kirk Cousins-led Vikings, Scott. So give me a reason to pick one of these two teams.
I think the reason to pick Minnesota is what Dalvin Cook's done the last couple weeks. You know, Chicago 5-4, their offense just is not good. They don't have playmakers. You know, Nick Foles has not been maybe the savior that a lot of Bears fans hope for. So because of Dalvin Cook, I like Minnesota. Not good teams, but Minnesota's the team that's hot compared to the Bears. So give me the Vikings on the road Monday night.
All right, hold on. What's Kirk Cousins' record against the Bears since joining the Vikings, and what's his QBR since joining the Vikings?
Not very good, as a matter of fact. Against the Bears, 0-3, and on Monday Night Football, Cousins is 0-9. He's going to break that up. It's a Michigan State guy. I got to do it, Paul.
All right. That's fair. I tried to give you an out, and you just didn't take it. So no. I can lead the horse to water, Scott, but I can't make him drink. I guess that's my whole point. All right. So let's get to our eliminator picks. You are currently still undefeated, along with Pudge, Tina, Christian the bartender, and our second attorney, Spotty. So Scott Nason, I'm gonna ask you. And I think I might go the same direction you do if it's between the two teams. I currently have New Orleans penciled in, but I am leaning towards taking the Lions for no other reason so I can hold on to New Orleans. Scott Nason, where are you going this week?
Well, I can't do my New York strategy, Paul, because the Jets are off and the Giants in Philly. I'm just not confident in taking Philly in that one. I'm really looking at that Detroit-Washington game again, much like your strategy and what you said. But I'm still in this mix, and I gotta pick the games that I am most certain of, and that game is New Orleans. Give me the Saints over the Niners.
Okay. I'm at a point right now. I can't win the straight pick 'em because in week six I had the Patriots and they lost. Do I hold on to New Orleans? Because I have New Orleans already penciled into my spot, but do I hold on to New Orleans and save them? The question is, do I believe in the Lions? I don't know. Are you hearing anything about Matt Stafford as far as the concussion protocol? Is he going to play? Do we know?
We haven't heard that he's not going to play. I have not received a word as far as his status. I'm sure it's probably going to be even a Sunday game time decision, but – you know, one thing about Matt Stafford, while his play's not the best, if he can play, he will. He is a tough guy.
Right.
So I would expect him to play. But again, it's Washington. The Lions, these are the type of games they win when they have no business winning or really shouldn't win, in my opinion, because of draft positioning. Those are the games they usually find a way to win.
I'm going to regret this. I'm going to take the Lions. That's the stupidest thing I've ever done in my entire life.
I knew you would.
I hate the fact that I even am putting myself in this position, but again, not if I was still undefeated, I would go with your route, Scott. I would still take New Orleans, but the fact that I have that one loss, I guess what's two losses? If I finish second or I finish fourth, I'm still not winning this thing. So screw it. I'll go with the Lions. Scotty, where do our listeners get more great sports content from you and the rest of your team up north?
You can go to the website, thegamesportshow.com or thegamesportshow.podbean.com. We have weekly editions of our show on our local ESPN station, as well as in Canada, Metro Detroit, Escanaba, a whole crew of contributors and shows. Check it out free of charge.
And breaking news, Scott, Omaha, Nebraska commit Selena Hacker is going to play her women's college basketball at Lake Superior State University, a place near and dear to both our hearts.
Very good. And my wife is the athletic trainer for that team, so she'll be probably meeting her very soon.
She is indeed. Scotty, as always, my man, we appreciate you doing this with us every week. Look forward to chatting with you again next week. We're going to be doing this the same way, so we'll chat online, all right?
Sounds good. You guys stay safe and healthy down there, and thanks for having me on.
Scott Nason from the Game Sports Show. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we got more to talk about. It's The Drive on your local radio station. We are ESPN Blacksburg.